Hey guys, welcome back to the Lifetime Athlete Podcast. I'm your host, John Zombro. Today is episode number 263. As a physical therapist, a peak performance coach, a lifetime athlete, and a hunter, I'm going to be talking today about elk hunting training and a trip report, or perhaps several. So that's what we're going to call the show. And I think I'm pretty jacked up because I'm sipping some coffee midday. And I guess first thing I should say is, as has been my pattern lately in the peak of hunting season, I'm always a couple days late getting the podcast out because I'm juggling some trips with work demand. And I think those of you who share the passions understand and possibly forgive me. And I hope you do. So thank you. But yeah, I'm kind of buzzing because I was flipping through the TV and I was watching results from, not necessarily the results, but the playback of the recent Rogue Invitational CrossFit event, and it was pretty phenomenal, actually. There are things about CrossFit that I don't love, but there are things that I think are pretty doggone cool. And I was watching that first event down in the Texas Hill Country when Jason Hopper pretty much just took the race from the start and blew away the field. And it was interesting to me because they were doing some rucking, they were doing some running, and some sandbag lifting. And interestingly enough, that's a lot of the type of things that I utilize in training for the hunting athlete, the mountain athlete in particular. And that's a big part of my Fit for the Field online course, as well as there are elements of that in what we do with the Training Tribe. And I even, some of my personal or private coaching clients get some aspects of that type of training. So what they had in the event was, I'm going to try not to butcher this. I think they did a mile or maybe 1.2 mile ruck. Most of that seemed to be uphill, but here's one issue here. I think wearing a backpack and hiking or walking is excellent. I don't think running with a pack is orthopedically the most appropriate thing, and I certainly wouldn't encourage that. But these are pretty badass people doing some badass things, and so I still enjoyed watching it. So they went for 1.2 miles with this pack, then they dumped the pack, ran another mile, and then they had to hump sandbags over some hay bales. It was only three bags, but after running all that distance, the bags were 100 pounds for the men and 70 pounds for the women. And these guys just did it easily. And then they had to charge another mile. And I had plans to get on the microphone and do the podcast, and I wasn't really procrastinating. I was just sort of enjoying it. This coffee opportunity, found that on the tube, but it was really fitting because it kind of got me jazzed up about being athletic and training and just being prepared for anything it is that you want to do. And so this has been an interesting start for me to elk season. Due to my shoulder reconstruction, I wasn't bow hunting this year. And so I originally had plans to get out with some friends and, you know, participate, be a caller, possibly be a meat hauler, you know, those kinds of things. But that just didn't work out schedule-wise for any of us. And so I was really eager to get rolling here in Montana with our five-week firearm season. And, you know, I have some goals of filling my freezer, first of all, because much of my diet is made up of wild protein. And, you know, there's an antelope in there in the freezer already. I hope to bring home two elk and two deer this year as well. And, of course, that gets supplemented with local beef. And sometimes a little pork, chicken, and fish, although I'm just not eating as much of that stuff as I once did for various reasons that I won't even get into right now in the show. So was out, I think I talked about it previously, that kind of opening weekend plus, went out on a Friday, season open Saturday, had to get back Monday evening, and we had a really intense weather experience there. Got quite a few miles in on the legs, but that spot, historically, it's been a good spot. It's kind of a post-rut sanctuary area for bull elk, and just wasn't able to turn anything up. Lots of rain and snow and wind, and so we got a little bit of everything that nature's fury can bring. And then let's see, there was the Beatles day tripper, got out different spot, another, a local spot, not necessarily high animal densities, but, a spot to check and, you know, did that. And then I made a run and gun affair back to that, fairly remote spot I was talking about first, and actually there wasn't any real running, and there was no gunning or no discharge of firearms, but I managed to cover, and I recorded this, 22 miles in 25 hours, so there was obviously an overnight camp, a bivvy sleep, but just covering a lot of ground. And in doing that, one of the things I really just came to appreciate this is that I wrote a recent article on the blog about this, and it's elk hunting really is an endurance sport. And I'm gonna come back to that, but that was where I was out there having that experience. In fact, I remember the first day of that trip, and I probably covered about 12 of my 22 miles on day one, and then about 10 on the second day. So I had gone about 10 miles most of the day, you know, just hiking, hunting, glassing, some areas, depending on the exposure in snow, some not, just not able to turn up an elk. And then I wanted to get to a primetime spot for last light. And I was running out of mojo, just not necessarily emotional or psychological, but just energy. I could feel myself getting tired, getting a little glycogen depleted, not quite bonking, but I was like, huh, okay, well, what is it? And it turned out to be, well, you know, you haven't really been having enough fuel intake. And so I, had a little bit of fuel coming in, and I was able to get her done. And, you know, I was pleased that, you know, I recovered even with a somewhat fitful night's sleep out in the wilds, and was able to hammer again. And then I was out, oh gosh, the days are blurring, you know, how many, what trips are. I was out yesterday and went back to the kind of local spot that I like to cruise. It's steep canyon country, and so I don't cover quite as much distance, but it's challenging distance, or hard yards, if you want to call it that. And I saw a ton of game, just no elk. You know, I actually saw a bunch of mule deer, quite a few does, and several bucks. One of them, I don't know, an almoster, a not quiter, a next seasoner type of thing. Saw some moose. I actually saw a mountain lion, which, you know, I've seen a few of those in the wild, and that's always an interesting experience, to say the least. And in this case, he or she or it wasn't hunting me, was hauling A away from me, but that's kind of nice. So getting into this topic, I think I can explain it, and who knows, maybe I'll insert a story or a tidbit here and there. But I think, you know, I prefaced it with, you know, that talking about the training and my philosophy that elk hunting is an endurance sport. So this deserves some explaining. But to be honest, man, I don't really love endurance training. My jam in the workout sense is interval training and circuits. To each his or her own, of course. But I'm glad that I at least incorporate some of this endurance training into my conditioning plans throughout the year, and particularly over the later summer, early fall, because it really does make a difference for me. And my favorite sport, really, or pastime, it's actually a passion, is elk hunting. And, you know, I'm saying elk hunting, that's my jam, but a lot of the things we're talking about with training apply to any backcountry hunting, whether that's sheep, moose, goat, bear, caribou, deer. You know, the list is pretty long. It's a very similar, you know, a lot of these same things. We've just got to be ready to cover that ground. And particularly with elk hunting, I would say this: I love almost everything about it. The nature experience, the quest, the reverence that I have towards the elk, the mighty Wapiti, the challenge, the field-to-table journey, and all the meat work, which I always do all of it myself, and the cooking and the feeding of others is very important to me, and it's a very primal and cultural experience. Taking a sip of this delicious coffee. The gear. You know, I'm a gear junkie. I've been talking about that some, and I've been getting some feedback to do more gear reviews and tests, and so I'm building that into the platform, as you guys probably are aware. Thanks for helping me shape this thing. And while I also love most of the training, I do. I love training. I love moving. I love being a physical animal, celebrating that joy, that gift. And just trying to be vital. I keep an element of play and competition in there too, and that's one of the things that keeps me going. But having mumbled all of that stuff, I'm not totally enamored with endurance training, at least the type that's required to be optimally effective as a backcountry elk hunter. And this is, I think, what I can develop as I go along. So, yeah, for me, I recognize endurance is important. I've participated in a lot of endurance sports. But those long, slow, steady types of things, which are important for endurance development, they're my least favorite aspects of training. And that's just how I'm wired. And I'm not certainly insulting anyone else, because I know many people that's their favorite thing. And that's fine. It makes the world go around. But as the title states, elk hunting is an endurance sport. Yes, you do need some strength, power, speed, and agility. Those are the other capacities of human performance or of athleticism, but you need a lot of endurance in the elk woods and mountains. Strength comes into play when carrying loads, as one example. Power is necessary to hike up super steep terrain. Speed is required occasionally when you need to get somewhere quickly. And agility, such as when climbing through deadfall, is a must, but mainly, you have to be able to move, albeit often slowly, all frigging day, at least on some days. This is the definition of endurance: cardiorespiratory fitness and muscular fatigue resistance. If you don't have a ton of these qualities, you simply can't grind all day, you can't get in and out of the country, and stay focused on the hunt instead of your exhaustion. Just fact. That last point is so profound that I can't restate it enough. So we've completed 2 of the 5 weeks of the general firearms season for elk here in Montana, and already I've got 61 miles in, and that's over mountainous terrain, much of it's off trail and in snow, with a pack and a rifle. Now, this is not atypical. First of all, you might say, well, you're just a hiker, you're a lousy hunter. Well, this is just how it goes sometimes, and I think if you're in the game long enough, you know that. I'm someone who will pass on certain situations, and I'm looking for the situation to be right in a lot of ways to meet my standards, but that's just me. I've seen a few elk this year, and I had one encounter, but the conditions for a successful harvest really haven't presented themselves yet. Sure, I've had years where I shot an elk on the opening day of the bow or the rifle season, but I've also had seasons where it went down to the wire on the final day. And that's how I roll, and that's how I love it. I wouldn't have it any other way. But that's where the endurance thing comes in again, to go big on any given day and keep doing it. And to do that for a number of days, it's critical. I've seen a lot of ostensibly fit people, including myself at different times in my life, be able to put in one good half day before fatigue became the dominant theme, as opposed to being a capable apex predator. And if you want to kill an elk in the backcountry, you got to be an apex predator. The luck factors in, but it doesn't get you all the way. Back when I was mainly doing sprinting and weight training, man, I had plenty of power, but I ran out of gas a little too soon on occasion. And when I did triathlons, I had a specific kind of endurance, but it wasn't really the type that helped me to carry load on uneven terrain and do a few other things, for example. Elk hunting endurance is actually specific, or let's call it backcountry hunter endurance, backcountry hunter conditioning. You've got to have the scientific parameters like maximal oxygen uptake, movement economy, and submaximal repetition efficiency. All those things, you know, I love the jargon, right? But you just have to be doggone durable. And that's of body, mind, and spirit. Developing this type of durability is not really magic, but it does require careful consideration. Just the other day, I was texting with a client, a hunting athlete, and we were talking about various aspects of his training, including endurance work. So shout out to you, Big TW, if you're listening. We broached the topic of running, and I like to talk about my view on running both as a natural human locomotive capacity and as a training tool. I think everybody, among those who are not limited by orthopedic or systemic problems, benefits from being able to run a little and doing a little running in their training. But I definitely see it as a bell-shaped curve. Sure, the marathoners and long-distance running enthusiasts, ultra people, they dive deeply into their sport, and that's actually a specialized application. There's a way to do that successfully, and some of the athletes I coach are doing that, but most of us don't really need that much running to either develop our endurance or to be athletic. In fact, I say that my minimum locomotive requirement for clients for all humans, really, is to be able to do three things. And I've talked about this, I know, several times, but it's this: sprint a 40 without blowing a hammy, jog a mile without stopping due to exhaustion, walk 5 miles continuously. On demand, anytime, back to back if necessary. That's it. This doesn't take a ton of running to accomplish as far as getting into condition to be able to do it. And it's more about having that ability in your athletic toolbox than using it all the time. Really interesting aspect of discussion there, but just wanted to put that out. Now, this client, awesome dude that he is, he stated that he finds the modest amount of running that he's doing in his program to be the most demanding aspect of conditioning. Well, we put the running in there because he enjoys that challenge, and it's very convenient for his situation. But I also mentioned that there are many ways to build endurance besides running, or even just doing any form of steady-state aerobic conditioning, aka cardio. The nice thing about running, though, for those who are so inclined, is its convenience and simplicity. Lace on some shoes, head out the door, get her done. Fitting a couple runs per week around other forms of training is relatively easy, but when I'm training hunters, specifically talking about hunters and hunter conditioning, I actually don't emphasize running too much. What I do like is backpack training. So I prefer backpack cardio, or if you're cool these days, rucking. And so hey, shout out to GoRuck. So GoRuck was, I guess, the pack sponsor for that CrossFit event. And I used to share an office building with those guys. And so it's a small world. That's cool. But I prefer to use rucking as my main conditioning mode for hunters. Conditioning when you're just talking about, okay, what is our aerobic or endurance mode of primary means. I also like and utilize this training with a lot of other athletes. But for hunters, the beauty of rucking is the specificity. It's one of the main things you need to be prepared to do. In addition to the aerobic conditioning and the legwork that it provides, there's also a strength, stability, and balance contribution from the loaded backpack training. In that Fit for the Field program, which is my online course for hunter conditioning, we emphasize 3 rucks a week over the preseason build-up period. So every weekend, there's a longer distance excursion on trail, preferably if applicable or available for people wherever they are in the country. And then there are 2 shorter sessions that we do midweek, which you can do in town, you know, a town, neighborhood, community park. Doesn't have to be done on a trail, and those utilize heavier loads and even some interval training. So what happens is, after just a couple months of doing that, the ability to cover ground and carry load without much fatigue is significantly enhanced. I love seeing that happen in people. I love feeling it myself. Now, one of the keys to building endurance is to keep most of the hiking, or any other training for that matter, at fairly low intensity. I think a lot of people get lost in this. That's been my experience, either working with folks, talking with them, or observing what other programs are doing. You know, I'll roughly follow the scientifically proven, research-based, evidence-based 80-20 model of endurance training with most of my program design. Forgive most athletes, most of the stuff I put out there. If I have an endurance component, that's how I'm doing it. Well, this is a time-tested approach. Practically all of your elite and world champion, Olympic champion athletes, any of the endurance sports, whether that's cross-country skiing, running, cycling, rowing, they use variations on this 80-20 mode, particularly in the off season. And this is the time-tested approach. I want to mention that again. And it's been made popular somewhat recently by the work of Steven Seiler, PhD, among others, but it's been known for decades and beyond. And so if you're not steeped in the background of exercise physiology or endurance training, you may think that, you know, you got to hammer all the time, and that's actually counterproductive for your health and your fitness than doing most of this stuff at that lower intensity. So with this method, you basically do about 80% of your aerobic training at very easy outputs in what we'll call zone 1 and 2. In a typical 5-zone model. And there are multiple zones, but the 5-zone model for aerobic conditioning is most commonly seen and popular. In fact, I'll describe those zones in a minute. And then in that other 20% of your training, that's when you really get after it. You go like hell and you use zones 4 and 5. And again, this is a mistake I see a lot of people make. They don't go easy enough, often enough, long enough. But then when it's time to really go frigging hard, They don't go hard enough. And so you get a lot of people who live in that gray middle mush zone, and they're pissed because they really don't ever increase their fitness because they're not training appropriately and they don't know it. So nice to help people. And I'm not trying to be a snarko jerk here, just, you know, talking about how the science gets misapplied sometimes in the media and other ways. Well, zone-based training, again, it's been around for a long time, but for simplicity, if you think of output, you know, what you're putting out as perceived effort, you can think of that as a percentage of your maximum heart rate. There are scales for that. As a percentage of maximal oxygen uptake, or a percentage of the first or second ventilatory threshold. There's all sorts of ways that we can calculate this. Pace, et cetera, et cetera. You can identify five zones or levels, and that's a very basic breakdown. Zone one is recovery. Zone two is endurance, but it still passes that talk test, you know, where you can carry on maybe not quite as animated a conversation as I'm having with myself right now or with you guys. Thank you. You know, it's pretty easy. Zone three, that's tempo or threshold. It's picking up. Zone four is what we call usually a VO2 max region of training. And then zone five is closer to all out or max capacity. While it's not written in stone, zones one and two are usually done as steady state sessions. You know, you just go out and you cruise, nice and easy. Z3 can be either continuous or interval based, but Z4 and 5 are really entirely interval or repetition workouts just because the intensity is so high. And you have varying but generally longer rest periods as the intensity increases. It's just necessary to have repeat output ability and adequate interset or rep recovery. Sounded cool. Okay, so most of the rucks, again, we're talking about training hunters or anyone who wants to get into backpack training, which I would encourage, should be Z1 and Z2. So it's pretty comfortable to help develop that ability to just go steady. You don't have to kill yourself. Now, every once in a while, maybe that represents 20%, a few like hill intervals can be thrown in, or even some dandy lunges once in a while to complete the mix. Had a gal reached out to me, I think it was last week, and she's like, "Well, I just can't get out to the trails in the week with what we've got in my programming. Would it be okay if I just?" Well, actually, no. So that was somebody else who asked me, "Would it be okay if?" What she had said was, what do you recommend? And I said, well, I'll tell you what, as you're walking along, you just knock out 10 walking lunges every 5 minutes or so. And that's going to really give you one of the things that we want that I'm talking about here. The asking if it was okay thing was, there was a guy who had a workout routine, one of them, where he was motoring around the hood with the ruck and had a mix of lunges and push-ups in the system. And he was wondering if it was okay to do the push-ups with the rucksack on or backpack on. And I said, well, first of all, I know this guy. He's got some weightlifting experience. He's strong. And, you know, if you want to challenge yourself, put a pack on your back, even with only 20 or 30 pounds, and try to rep out some push-ups. It's hard as hell. And then if you're like him, and I think he's, you know, humping 50, he's the man. But anyway, it's kind of cool, you know, that we have these options that we can do with our training. So that's kind of how rucking works. And then when I'm training any really athlete that needs to develop endurance, but talking about these hunters, we also use additional forms of aerobic training, including modest amounts of running. Again, for those who desire it, you don't have to have it, but it's cool if you can put it in, as well as cycling, rowing, swimming, probably a couple other things in there. And most of this is where we'll use the intervals or the high intensity circuits. And it's nice to break things up, have some fun as well. Ultimately, what we're trying to do, however, in the backcountry hunter is develop this all day durability or go all day capacity, you know, with that ability to throw in some surges here and there as the situations require without ever crashing. Here's a list for you: bonking, bottoming out, giving up, getting hurt, or quitting altogether. It does happen. In fact, I've seen it more times than I want to describe. That's the goal, and the training is the secret. Now, if you are in your 20s and you hunt all the time, guess what? This happens automatically. Youth is on your side. You don't even need to do any of this. Otherwise, you need proper training, and I guarantee you, I absolutely guarantee you it gets more important with every decade. And if you get to be my age and you want to be out there, hopefully kicking some ass in relative terms, I mean, this is the avenue for success. That's all I can say. So to all you hunters in our community, man, I hope your season is going well. Ladies and gentlemen, because I've got some ladies that I'm working with who are in the field. I hope your training has been paying off big time. And if you're interested in learning more about this type of thing or setting up a better program to support your passions, whether that's as a backcountry hunter or just as a lifetime athlete, just let me know. If you don't hunt and you want to find out how you can sculpt that training so that you can look, feel, and perform your best at any sport and in any phase of life, well, folks, that's what I'm here for. So thank you for joining me today, and thanks for really cueing me up to talk about this special type of athlete with which I, you know, have a lot of experience, decades actually, and I'm very passionate about. And I'm going to continue to provide some of the stories and the gear tests and reviews that I was mentioning. So I appreciate you. I appreciate all that you're doing for our community and being a part of this, and wish you the best and have a great day.